Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
Those of you who are watching, you need to say, do this too now.
Amen.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word.
God's
is devil destruction power.
With
my Bible,
I
can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil
every single day.
Every single day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is
the Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word.
And God's Word
is the revelation.
Is the revelation
of His will for my life.
His will for my life.
Whatever it says I am.
That's
what I am. Whatever says I can do.
I can do it.
Whatever it says I have.
I claim it
in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Father God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Lord, help us to be good listeners of your word and doers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We're going to finish our two-part series on the devilish reality of racism. Last week we had Mother's Day celebration, so we didn't get to this. And we want to try to go through this as fast as we can so that we can move on to other social issues. The reason why we need to deal with social issues as a church is because the world is giving you wrong information, praise God. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that wrong information is creeping into the church. If you are a watcher of Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, whether you're conservative or whether you are liberal or whether you are independent, it doesn't matter. All these guys are often giving you worldly viewpoints that are not based on the scriptures, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as my political affiliation, I am probably much more strongly on the conservative side than the liberal side, but I do not sit there and accept everything somebody who claims to be conservative says, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, you know, I used to be a watcher of Fox News, and I got so tired of them, I don't even watch them no more, praise Jesus. Because
mm-hmm.
because of some of the slant that they have and some of the stuff that they say and do that I can't sit there and accept. And I certainly ain't going to watch MSNBC because they really are out in left field. But the thing is that regardless of what type of news media you like to watch, you need to get back into the Word of God and find out what God says and not what the world says. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
The other thing is that if you are going to be evangelists, if you are going to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, then you need to know your stuff. You need to know what you're dealing with. And because people will try to trip you up. I'm not telling you that you need to be debating with people. As a matter of fact, I discourage that. Don't necessarily sit and debate with sinners all the time or people who aren't Christians. But what I'm saying is that don't let them deceive you with other types of information. Because you are the light of the world. And you don't want people to make you feel like you are less wise than what the world tries to betray us, praise God. So that's why you need to understand certain social issues. You need to understand racism. You need to understand the truth about homosexuality. You need to understand the truth about all these different things that confront us right now. You need to understand what the Bible says about these things, praise Jesus.
Amen.
I know in these type of churches, sometimes we like to focus on how to get your blessings, how to get your prayers answered, how to get your prosperity. But I think right now we need to understand practical issues. After we're finished with this series, we're going to deal with ethical issues that I think is causing problems within this particular church, and how we can come up and become a ministry of excellence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But let's get through this first. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible, we have it up on the board. But I still encourage you to follow along in your Bibles as best as you can. That's why you see me turn it, even though I could just turn around and look at the board. But I need to practice how to use my weapon. just like you do. 1 John chapter 3, begin at verse 13, and it says, Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Praise God.
Amen.
He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Now, there are, regardless of whether you understand this or not, there are two kingdoms that are making things happen in this particular world we live in. There's the kingdom of death, and there's the kingdom of life. These two kingdoms are at war with one another. Both are at war for the souls of men. One kingdom is at war to try to save the souls of men. The other kingdom is at war to try to destroy the souls of men. And there's the kingdom of life is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of death is the kingdom of Satan. And Satan attempts to do everything opposite from God. That's why, because God is life, King Satan has decided to separate himself and anyone who will listen to him from God and has established a kingdom of death and destruction. God is love. So Satan, going to direct opposite from God, has established a philosophy of hatred and selfishness. And part of the hatred and selfishness that Satan has introduced into his kingdom and those who follow him is something called racism or racial prejudice. Praise God.
Amen.
And he will get blacks to hate white, Asians to hate Europeans. He will get Japanese to hate Chinese, Chinese to hate Koreans. He will get Zambians to hate Nigerians, Kenyans to hate Liberians. He will get anything he can to cause people to hate and destroy one another, and by that, they are walking in Satan's kingdom of death. Glory to God.
Amen.
What you and I need to understand is that racism goes beyond just a social issue in which we establish laws that prevent racism. Because when you establish a law, you are not changing the heart of the people who have to abide by that law. For example, one of my favorite people, one of my favorite historical figures, Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks, stood against a ridiculous law that told me that I had, because of my skin color, I had to ride the back of the bus. And that if the bus was full and a white person came on the bus and they wanted my seat, I had to give it up. That was ridiculous, praise God.
Amen.
Now, I can tell you right now, I love riding the back of the bus. When I have to get on the bus, I ride in the back. But I do it now because I'm not forced to do it. I do it because I want to do it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank God for that law. That law has helped me. But it did not change the heart of the people who wanted me to do that. Now, there was a time when you had three bathrooms. Men, women, and colored. So if you was colored, don't bother to go into the men's bathroom or the women's bathroom. You better go into the colored bathroom. There was a time in the public when you had a water fountain and you were thirsty, you better keep on trucking, because that water fountain said for whites only. It wasn't for you, because your skin is black. Maybe somebody was scared that if I put my mouth on the water, that it might rub off and they might get darker. I don't know. But it does amaze me that many Caucasians will spend tons of money with all that lotion, go to the best beaches, sit out there and get themselves to look like me and brag about it. This is natural, baby. I don't have to sit in the sun for that. But the thing is that it does, racism simply does not make sense, praise God.
Amen.
If you really, and for the Christian, it really doesn't make sense. Now, Martin Luther King once stated that 11 o'clock, which is when most church services started during his time, he said 11 o'clock is the most segregated hour in America. Sadly, that still remains true, because a lot of churches are still black church, white church. There's a few multicultural churches out there, praise God. But for the most part, a lot of the churches are still segregated. That's not God. That's the devil. The devil is trying to keep people divided. I have made up my mind that I will never in my life look at somebody and judge them by their skin color, praise God.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to share some things with you to let you know that it's because of Jesus Christ that I've made up my mind about this. It's not because somebody influenced me. See, sometimes people think because of somebody like me who will not do the black power thing anymore and who won't go fighting for you know, join the NAACP and all this other stuff, that I become a sellout or any of that kind of stuff. That, let me share something with you. I have suffered racism, praise God. I have been called the N-word multiple times, more than once. I remember when I joined the Air Force at the age of 18. Now, I came from a predominantly African-American community where it was mostly black, few whites, some Puerto Ricans, but mostly black. Most of my life, I went to black schools, praise God. When I joined the Air Force and I went to basic training, I was in a dormitory with over 50-something white guys. There was only about two of us black guys. There started out four, but then two of them left and went to transfer to another squadron. So left in the squadron I was in was two black guys. Me, real skinny young man, and another guy from North Carolina. And those white guys were most of them from the Deep South. And they were not afraid to let you know that they did not like people like me. I was called the N-word during that time. I was challenged. Thank God that I had two white guys in that squadron. I'll never forget them, Pete and Doug. Pete and Doug were two big white guys. Pete and Don made an announcement. They said, listen, as far as we're concerned, Troy is our brother. You mess with him, you messing with us. Thank God for Pete and Don, praise God. But these were white guys who protected me. I didn't have no black person to protect me. These two white guys said that you touch him, you say another N-word to him, and then you're going to fight with us, praise God.
Yes.
Thank God for those two white guys. Wasn't too long after that, I left basic training, went to, got my first assignment to Okinawa, Japan, got over there, and was in a dormitory full of white guys. And my first or second weekend there, They was playing country music, and there was only one other black guy that lived on the same dorm room floor that I did, but he wasn't home, and they didn't like him, and so they was screaming up and down the hall the N-word, and they decided to burn a cross on his door. And I was listening to all this. I'm inside my room. I didn't dare go out. I wasn't a fool. I'm from Trenton, but I ain't a fool. It's one of me and about 10 or 15 of them. That was a fight that I was destined to lose. But I went through it. I've gone through it. I've been profiled. I've been jacked up by police. I've been beaten up physically by white guys. I have every reason, if I wanted to be bitter, to hate a person just because of their skin color. Amen. I have plenty of reasons. I could tell you more stories. I have good reasons to hate people because of their white. The way that I've been treated on the job by white people. The way that people would tell me that they didn't care for my black self dating this Asian woman. I could be upset about all these things. But I've made up my mind, especially after I gave my life to Jesus Christ, that I would love every person regardless or in spite of their skin color, praise God.
Amen.
I would not treat people the way they treat me. I would not treat white people the way white people treated me. And besides that, it wasn't every white person that did that to me anyway, praise God. Amen. Every time I'm tempted to become bitter about something like that, God always reminds me of those two white guys that were willing to risk their own lives to protect me, praise God. Amen. They were willing to take on 48 other guys and fight with them on my behalf. We also got to remember that during that civil rights movement, Martin Luther King did not march with only black people. Many, many white people fought for our civil rights, praise God. Many, many white people risked their lives for our civil rights. Many, many white people fought it willingly in the Civil War to free those of us who were slaves, praise God. There is no reason for any of us to hate anybody of any color because of what a few of them did to us. Amen. There is no reason to hate for any of us to hate another man because of his skin color. We ought to remember that God has created all of us. He's a multicultural God, and he created all of us to be in his image and after his likeness. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, God hates racism. Jesus will win the war against hatred and racism by removing Satan's kingdom of death and instituting his kingdom of life, light, and love. If you hate somebody because they're white, you're not in the kingdom of life. You have moved over into the kingdom of death. If you hate somebody because they're black, you are not in the kingdom of God. You are over in the kingdom of Satan, because Satan is the instigator of hatred. If you hate somebody because they're Asian, you hate somebody because they're Jewish, you hate somebody because of whatever, you are not in the kingdom of God. You're in the kingdom of Satan. And you need to be delivered from that kingdom, because the only place that that kingdom leads to is hell. Praise God. Because God's not going to have, he's not going to have that in heaven. He's not going to have your hatred in heaven. See, your character is determined here on earth. Don't think that you're going to die and all of a sudden your character changes. You develop your character while you're here, while you're still alive. If you have that hatred in you while you're still alive and you die and you go to heaven, you will still have that hatred in you. And then you'll be ticked off because there's so many black people in heaven. Or if you're black, there's too many white people in heaven. or if you can't stand Asians, there's too many of them slanted-eyed people in heaven. No, see, God's not going to have that in heaven. He's not going to allow that. So you'll go down to hell where you can keep on hating if you want to. Praise God. But if you want to get out of the hatred, you need to get into the kingdom of light, life, and love. Praise God.
Yeah,
I'm so glad because hatred, I don't know. Hatred seems to be a bondage to me. Mm-hmm. Being mad at people, it wears you down. From as far as I'm concerned, I've been there. Mm-hmm. It's just wearing. It makes you bitter. It makes you unhappy. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to be free from that. I'm so glad that I could that I'm free to love anybody I want. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. And see, if you're in the church, a good test for you is depend on what you can tell whether you're racist or not. Will you let somebody marry your child of a different color? Can you do that?
Amen.
If you are black, can you allow your child to marry a white man?
Amen.
If you are white, will you allow your son to marry one of my daughters? I can tell whether you're racist or not. That's how you tell. I've already told my kids, I told my girls, as long as the man is a Christian and has a job, okay? I'm desperate for them to get married. Black, white, Asian. Somebody marry these girls. Glory to God. I am not bothered by having a white son-in-law as long as he's a Christian, praise God.
Amen.
He's born again and loves Jesus. I don't have a problem. If he's black and he's, you know, I was telling Nancy yesterday, I said, you know, I was talking to your brother. I said, tell Michael to send me some good Liberian men here. I don't care as long as they love Jesus and have a job. Cause once they married, they ain't living with me. I ain't supporting two people. I ain't supporting the husband and the wife. Get married, get out. Visit occasionally. Praise God. But anyway, that's how you tell whether somebody's really a racist or not.
Amen.
But as I was saying, God hates racism. Amen. Amen. He is a God of creativity, diversity, and unity. See, Satan distorts and corrupts God's plan by bringing hatred and division. God wanted variety. Satan wants division and destruction. And so, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures. I'm trying not to keep you too long, but let me show you a couple of scriptures that amplify this point. And some of them you are familiar with. For example, we were just talking about interracial marriage. God is for interracial marriage, praise God. And we see that as we look at Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12, well, let's go through it real quick. Verse 1, it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses." Why? Why did they speak against Moses? Why was they gossiping? Because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Moses, with his Jewish self, going around marrying a black woman. For shame, for shame, for shame. And I can see what they were saying. Now, how dare he bring that black woman into this camp? Yeah, look at her skin. She's darker than my belt. I mean, they were probably dogging her out. But look at God. We dropped down to verse 9, so, you know, save us time. We don't want to read the whole thing. It says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. God was so mad at them attacking Moses because of his marriage. He called all three of them and said, "How dare you? How come you weren't afraid to speak against my servant? How dare you attack my servant?" And then he left. And then sickness came on Miriam. See, that should be a lesson for you right there, too. God is not the one who inflicts sickness, praise God. But see, once you grieve the Spirit of God and he departs from you, it gives Satan access to your body.
Amen.
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 So it says that the Spirit of God departed, and then Miriam got sick with the leprosy. And who had to pray for her and intercede for her? Her brother, who was married to a black woman. That's something. But that should be a lesson for you too. You should be praying for the racists, praise God. You should not be hating on the racists because they're racist. You should be the exact opposite of the racist. If a white man hates me, I will continue to love him, praise God.
Amen.
If a white man hates me and he's thirsty and he's hungry, I'm going to feed him and I'm going to give him something to drink, praise Jesus.
Amen.
As the Bible tells me, that will reap coals of fire upon his head, and maybe he will come to know Jesus Christ and be delivered from that satanic fulfilling of hatred, praise Jesus.
Amen.
But we, as God's people, if we want to be an interracial, multicultural church, we better learn to embrace white people.
Yeah.
We better learn to embrace Asians. We better learn to, and we better learn to enjoy some of their style of music, glory to God.
Amen.
I mean, if you're going to be an interracial church, it can't always be the praise and worship. It can't always be the Liberian, African type worship. Sometimes some of these folks gonna want some country music.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yes, I know. That's why I said the same thing, baby. But I will. But for their sake, I will listen to it.
I like it.
As long as it's Christian country music, I can stand it. You know, some of that tears in my beer, and I think I'm gonna cry. No, I can't get into that. But see, we're gonna have to learn to be multicultural, praise God.
Yeah.
And if we're going to have an interracial church, a multicultural church, we need to expect interracial marriages. So if you can't stand seeing a black man with a white woman, or for those of us who are black, because I'll be honest, before I married my wife, I was a racist, because it bothered the living daylights out of me to see a white man with a black woman, especially if she was a fine black woman.
Yeah.
It used to make me mad. And I would say, "What in the world is she doing with him when she can have all of this, baby?" Yeah. But then I reap what I sow, praise God. Because then I married her. And then I was getting beat up by the black women. And they wasn't saying it behind my back. They were saying it straight to my face. "Oh, sisters ain't good enough for you." And I couldn't get mad because I said, "Man, I was the exact same way before I married her."
Yeah.
So I would try to explain to them, "But baby, I love you sisters. I mean, if I hadn't married her, I'd marry a sister." Except for the fact that I dated a half white, half black girl one time before I married her. But, you know, that was the closest that I got now, and that's it before me and her got married. But the thing is that God is into interracial marriage. Now, come here, honey. Come here. See? I just want to turn around and look at the camera. See? We are interracial married. Praise God.
Amen.
So I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We've dealt with it. See, I remember when she was going to pick, well, I think it was a washing machine or something. I can't remember when we were in,
electrician.
Yeah, we were getting an electrician. And she was driving on her way to the house. The electrician didn't know who she was married to. And he just started dogging black people out.
Yes.
I mean, he was talking nasty about black folks. I wish I had been home so when he got there, he would have been shocked. I sure wish I had been home. You know, she didn't say anything, and I'm glad she didn't. But I sure wish I had been home when he got there, and I would have said, "Hey, how you doing?"
That might be fun.
I think that would have been enjoyable to see the look on his face. the black man that he hates so much was married to one of his customers. Praise God. Hallelujah. But God is into interracial marriage. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you're a black man, you're married to a black woman, and she's compatible to you, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're a white man married to another white woman, God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you are Asian married to another Asian, God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you are Asian married to a black, God bless you. If you are black married to white, God bless you. It doesn't matter. We are of one race, one blood, and we come from one person. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The only thing you will never find here at Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship, and I'm going to tell you right now, I love you homosexuals. Amen.
Mm.
I love every homosexual out there, but there will be no homosexual marriages here at Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship. Zero. None. Ain't happening here. Amen.
Amen.
Ain't happening. I ain't going to hell for performing a homosexual marriage. Praise God.
Amen.
Homosexuals are welcome here. You can come to this congregation. We'd love to have you, but you ain't getting no marriages performed here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you're welcome here. Please come. We love you. All right. Let's look at a couple more scriptures as we get ready to close out. Y'all getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
Praise God. I know this is different from what I usually preach on, ain't it? Well, a little bit different anyway. But it's still within the same theme. Whether you know it or not, we're talking about spiritual warfare and how to conduct it. We're just talking about it from a more practical, social level. Glory to Jesus. And how to conduct spiritual warfare is to walk in love in contradiction to Satan's temptations to make you hate other people.
Yeah.
God's instructions for how to treat people of a different race. In Exodus chapter 22, verse 21, he says, "There thou shalt neither vex a stranger," talking about a foreigner, "nor oppress him. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." He was instructing the people in Israel to treat strangers in their midst right. Praise God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where they came from. Treat them right. Don't oppress them. Don't vex them. Don't treat them badly. And then in 23 verse 9 he says, "Also thou shalt not oppress a stranger. For ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt." Praise God.
Amen.
The other thing, as far as treating strangers, treating people of a different color, different race, a different human race, because we're all part of the human race, glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
We're all made in God's image. But if they're from a different area, from a different ethnic background, you are not to vex them or oppress them. You are to love them. As we showed you a couple weeks ago, people oppress other races out of fear, which is based on hatred and not in ignorance and not out of love. Praise God.
Amen.
The other thing we need to remember is Jesus died for every single person. Look at this. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," praise God,
"Amen,
"that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Amen.
Jesus died for every single person in the world. It didn't say that, "For God so loved the Jews." Praise God. Now, he sent Jesus first to the Jews, to Israel. Amen. Jesus was Jewish. See, when people start talking, especially when I get around black people, they want to start talking about black Christians, especially, who want to come up with the black thing. And I'm serious. There are a lot of black Christians, black pastors, who are big into this black thing. I like to remind them that the Messiah that we're supposed to be worshiping is Jewish. He decided to come here as a Jew. He didn't come here as an African. Amen.
Amen.
Now he would have if the Africans had been the people that were willing to yield to him at the time. But it was Abraham that was willing to yield to him. Praise God.
Amen.
But he did not come here as an Asian. He came here as a Jewish man. But he came here not just for the Jews alone. He came here for the whole wide world. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, it says that he tasted death for every man. Every single man. Not just for the white man, not just for the black man, not just for the Jewish man. He did it for every man.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Now, the real kicker is found in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and I definitely want to read this one. It says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, praise God.
Amen.
If no other scripture was clear, Revelation chapter 5 makes it implicitly and absolutely clear with no doubt that Jesus died for every single human being on this earth. Glory to God.
Amen.
He died for every person from every kindred, every tongue, every people, and every single nation. Praise God.
Amen.
He died for the Zambians. He died for the Kenyans. He died for the Liberians. He died for the Ivorians. He died for the Chinese. He died for the Taiwanese. He died for the Thai people. He died for the Filipino. He died for the American Indian. He died for the Pakistani. He died for the European. He died for everybody. So if he loved everybody so much that he would willingly give his life for them, how dare you and I even think for 1 minute to hate somebody because of their skin color? If we claim to be Christians, praise God. If we are going to be Christians, we need to act like our Christ. Now, last thing I'm going to deal with very quickly. There's several scriptures for this, but I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to go through these real quick. How do you and I react to racism? How do you and I react to racism? In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 46, like I said, I'm not going to read them. I'll give you the gist of them. Basically, Jesus was talking to them while he was on the mountain. What they call the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew chapter 5. And at that time, the Jewish people were being oppressed by the Romans. Praise God. And Jesus was trying to teach them how to love even their oppressors. He told them if a Roman soldier, see, back then the Roman soldier could just grab anybody and tell them, carry my knapsack for a mile. That was a law. He could do that. And see, the Jewish people were ticked off about those type of laws. They felt like they were oppressed. And they were waiting for the Messiah, the true Messiah. Jesus is the true Messiah, but they was waiting for the type of Messiah who would come and lead them into war against the Romans and defeat and destroy the Romans. Jesus had a different way. He said, if that Roman that you hate so much tells you to carry his knapsack 1 mile, he said, carry it too. Carry it too.
Still being my comrade. He used to do this.
The same thing they did. See? Practical experience right there. You see? So if you have to do that, what Jesus is saying, go the extra mile. Show them out of, walk in love towards them. Show them you're not, no matter what you do, you're not going to make me hate you, praise God.
Amen.
See, that was Martin Luther King's message as well. Martin Luther King said, you can do whatever you want to us, but we will return it with love, praise God.
Amen.
He said, you can't destroy us. Sadly, a lot of black leaders today have gotten far away from Martin Luther King's message.
Mm-hmm.
They're spreading hatred and division instead of the love
exactly.
that Martin Luther King was trying to spread.
Amen.
And most of them are in it for profit anyway. I'm going to tell you, that's why I don't respect them. And that's why I will not join the NAACP. That's why I won't join any of these organizations. I will not join them because they are spreading hatred and division rather than love. Praise God.
Amen.
And I have the right to vote for who I want to. I don't have to vote for somebody just because they're black. Amen.
Amen.
I don't have to vote for you just because you're black. Call me what you can call me Uncle Tom. You can call me what you want. I'm going to vote for who I want to vote for, and I'm going to vote according to my conscience, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12. Well, if you go to Matthew chapter 5, it talks about the fact that you are to love those who spitefully use you and persecute you, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you've been oppressed by a certain race, love them. Last week we talked about Nelson Mandela. And we said, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Nelson Mandela and how those white prison guards treated him so bad. Yet when he became, during his inauguration, he had his white prison guards sitting right in back of him. Now, if that's not strength, I don't know what is. It's a weak-minded person who has to kill somebody out of vengeance. It's a strong person that can say, you sit right in back of me as I get inaugurated. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about how when you see somebody who's your enemy down and out, you take care of them. You find them thirsty, give them something to drink. You find them hungry, feed them, praise God. If you're black and you feel like the white man has oppressed you, feed them. Give them something to drink. You're white and you feel like black people have done you wrong, feed them. Give them something to drink, praise God.
Amen.
Don't take vengeance on them. Don't take vengeance, praise God.
Amen.
And Romans 12 continues to talk about how in verse 21, it says, in that way, you will overcome evil with good, praise God.
Amen.
If you want to defeat the devil, you want God to have a victory in this warfare against Satan, show the world that God's kingdom of love is better to run this universe than Satan's kingdom of death, hatred, and division, praise God.
Amen.
That's what the whole thing is all about. It's about who has the better way of ruling the universe. Does God have the better way, or does Satan have the better way? And if God's people demonstrate love towards their enemies, then it will be proven that God has the better way of running the kingdom. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let me end this by telling you why we need to act this way, or why we must react this way. Violence, hatred, and vengeance is the way of Satan, and is not God's way. Our failure to forgive those who wrong us gives Satan an advantage because it puts us on his territory. When we live by God's law of love, then we prove that Satan's method of violent vengeance is not the way of God. We do not use Satan's methods against Satan's people. We use God's methods, which is to return kindness for hatred. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This is what we need to learn. We need to learn to walk in love. We need to learn to act like Jesus acted. Jesus was he didn't have to come here and die for us. He enjoyed heaven's bliss. It wasn't his fault that we fell. He did not ordain it. He did not want it. He did not predestine it, like some theologians will lie and tell you. It's a lie. that God does those things. He doesn't do those things. God had the highest plans for man before man fell. God's desire, his hope, and his dream was for man to come here and replenish the earth and to make it fruitful, praise God. And his and man's and God's plan was for man to be God here on the earth. Not God as though man is, can be God. That's not what I'm saying. He was God's representative here on the earth. God is just like any father who wants to see his children accomplish things. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what God wanted. His dream, his desire was to see man do great things on this earth. But man turned it all over to Satan and fell under Satan's rule. None of that was ever God's plan in the first place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's because man fell that all this racial division happened. But even in spite of all that, in spite of all of that, Jesus said, I love them. I'm going to go down and die for them and redeem them from the, from Satan's bondage. Praise God.
Amen.
He could have been like you and me. He could have said, well, you know what? They made their own bed. Let them lie in. It's your problem. I didn't tell you to give yourself over to Satan. But no, he didn't do that. He worked and worked and worked to redeem man from Satan's bondage and Satan's kingdom of death and destruction. And he worked until he finally died and resurrected so that he can free you from Satan's kingdom of bondage and give you his eternal life. And now you are now in the kingdom of life, love, and happiness. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. For those of you who are watching by television or who are watching by internet, we invite you to Victoria's Word Christian Fellowship. We're at 11 George Street, the second floor, Pawtucket, Rhode Island, 02893. Our services start at 11:30 a.m. We're going to start trying to start on time. And you can call us at 390-2834 and visit us on our webpage at www.victoriouswordchurch.org. And Victoria's Word said,
amen.
Say it again.
Amen.
Praise God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to hear your word and to teach your word and to preach your word. Now, Lord, bless your people as we get ready to leave this place and never from your presence. In the precious name of Jesus, glory to God. If you have anything you need me to pray for you about before we go, lift up your hand.